Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject of Are Sin, Disease, and Death Real? Thank you all so much for joining us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we welcome you all. And Florence will start with our morning prayer.
Today's prayer is a prayer for oneself. It can be found on page 63 of the Blue Book. I thank thee, Father, Mother, God, that neither ignorant, fraudulent, nor malicious mortal mind can reach me, affect me mentally, physically, financially, or otherwise, and I know it. For God is the only power, that I am not the victim of aggressive mental suggestion, nor the target of malicious animal magnetism, claiming to operate through any channel whatever, but I am the blessed legal child of God, spiritual, immortal, all harmonious, perfect, happy, healthy, pure, sinless, free, and fearless, and diseaseless, and deathless, expressing the substance of all good. Hold yourself constantly and consciously under God's eternal law of blessing, of happiness, harmony, health, peace, joy, power, progress, protection, abundance. There is no other law. Only a contrary mortal mind lie, which you are awake and alert to, and not under. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you very much. Okay, Karen, our watching point.
Watch number 221. Watch lest the apparent smallness or insignificance of the spot of decay on an orange cause you to forget that if it is not soon thrown away, it will become completely decayed. This watching point is not intended to imply that disease is a reality that indicates the gradual disintegration and ultimate death of a mortal. Yet the argument of disease should be a signpost indicating the danger of clinging to a false sense of man. Christian Science should be thought of as a pair of wings rather than as a medicine chest. Then the practitioner would be considered not like a doctor with his bag, which contains the medicine of mind rather than of matter, but as one who goes to awaken a sleeper out of a nightmare to the realization that he has no disease from which he needs to be healed. Then his thought is freed to soar up to God and gain a true sense of man.
Thank you. A good one. Comments on that?
Well, if every claim in like an individual conscious, God is individual consciousness, by Bicknell Young, he says the only thing we're ever meeting is the claim that there's a separation, that God can be separated from God, that we are, there's another selfhood. And so that's always the claim, is that we're not what God created.
Thank you.
And I like that Christian Science is not like a, you know, medicine chest, but you know, it's like a rocket ship. Takes you know, you're not affected by the appearance of a lie, but you're brought up above it to see the nothingness of it. That's how healing takes place.
Yeah, and the statements of truth. You know, sometimes I call it your arsenal. They're just to wake you up. They're to wake you up out of this dream. And, you know, the lesson says that this week in Science and Health, that the practitioner needs to know it's just a dream. And it always is, no matter how aggressive it seems, no matter how long it's gone on, it's a to be awakened from. And when you're not feeling well or right, this watching point brings out, yeah, you catch it then. It shows that something is working on your consciousness. And you don't let it go. That's why Mrs. Eddy, in that story of the pie and the cheese, she wasn't going to accept the restaurant a pie without the cheese when that's what the menu said she would get, because she knew if she'd started accepting things that are wrong, they increase their claims. And you've probably all experienced that, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in Science and Health, I love this, where 475, where it says a man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness. So what God has made is forever. It's perfect forever. And the incapability of it, it's when you're in it, it cannot be that it's not easy. But the truth is that we are incapable of all these things that come to us, these wrong things that come to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, this is a very strong lesson on this topic. The Bible section, boom, 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 healing after healing after healing, and then supported by these strong statements in Science and Health. And very healing if we take it in and know, yeah, we are incapable of it. Why? Because why are we incapable of it?
God did never made us to be sick. I mean, what's a loving God? What is love?
Thank you.
Yeah, and someone touched on last week, as far as the medicine chest goes, as soon as we get the feeling like we're trying to change or fix something, mm-hmm. that's a red flag, because it's already done. It's already made perfect. We just have to, like you said, Mary, wake up and see it. It's right there.
Thank you. Yes, it is a red flag. And I've certainly done it too until I learned better and watch my thinking, that you're not trying to just change matter, make matter better. You can't, because there is no matter, right?
No.
We go back. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, you referred to page 417 in the lesson about where it says sickness is a dream from which a patient needs to be awakened. It says disease should not appear real to the physician. I looked that word up in Noah Webster. And it was very, there's only one, it was just one, in a spiritual sense, one that heals moral diseases as a physician of the soul.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Thank you. And that's why this, our 1828 dictionary is so invaluable. It's so important. And of course, now you don't definitions. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Welcome.
And that's always the case. And good, really good doctors know. And Mrs. Eddy says, and it's in Science and Health, if you have to go to a doctor, make sure he is a Christian Scientist, meaning that he's one like this, and also that one that is receptive to the healing power of God, because, and most good physicians know that they don't heal, nothing heals. If it heals, it's because of God. And even if you've gone through a bunch of, materia medica things, God is always the healer. It's not the pills or the operations or anything. It is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I always thought that I couldn't, when somebody was going through something, or if I was, I always thought I couldn't continue to pray about it, because I was under a, I guess when I was having a C-section, when my I thought I couldn't, well, I can't pray anymore about it. And the practitioner, and my husband called my practitioner to let her know that I had to have it. She said, God's right there. I'll keep working. There's not, can't touch. What? You mean she can, she doesn't have to say, well, sorry, I can't. So it was wonderful, that feeling of, yeah, we're just going to keep right on praying through this.
Thank you. And that is true Christian Science, too. And
yes.
I had a C-section as well, and Mrs. Evans, I thought Mrs. Evans was going to drop me and not help me, but she didn't, nor do we. When people need you the most, drop them, and or think that some experience is outside of God's control or God's blessing. It isn't. You know, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Wherever we are, God is. And so we keep praying and keep working. And again, it is always God that heals.
I think situation, Mrs. Eddy, she didn't say that you couldn't continue to pray. I think what she meant, it's in Science and Health, she said, let the person go the way they feel they should go. You know, that's where, you know, if they choose to really, or their heart is in, okay, I'm going to medicine or something like that, then I think, you know, it would be contrary to how you're praying. But otherwise, I don't think she said, don't continue to pray for someone because they're, you know, with a doctor or something.
Yes.
People think, I guess that's what mainstream Christian Science they will not continue with you. They will drop you. I've seen.
Right.
This is something that's really important that the Plainfield Church gives, the support, because the mainstream church seems to forget that if you're in hell, God is with you. If you need that support, God is with you. If you go in the middle of a war, God is with you. And this is what we have to hold to.
Thank you, yes. Yeah, it's, you do the loving and kind thing. And Bignell Young does say this. I think it's in 1936 college. He also says if you have a whole family that's worried about you and wants you to go to medicine, that it's better you do, because it forms a way of malpractice if they're all worried about you. So you do your nearest sense of right, whatever that is. And if you don't want to, certainly respect that. Some people just don't want to get into anything medical, and that's up to them. Thank God in America, anyway, you're free to choose. You don't have to. They won't make you. Now, children, it's something else because of all the lawsuits that came about in the 80s and 90s, I guess. Something different. And things changed tremendously at that time. And also the rise of Materia Medica. It just is. So that's when we dig down deeper and more, reading our textbook, getting into the deep understanding of it. Lauren sent me this really good, I guess you'd call it a pamphlet. It's by Martha Wilcox called Mind and Man. Now, Martha Wilcox was taught by Mrs. Eddy. And in this pamphlet, I guess you'd call it, a rare book has it. We don't sell it.
The book is just done into the downloadable. But it's a book, yeah. It was a book, sure.
Yeah. And she gets into very deep metaphysics. And it's wonderful. It's really good. And I've heard others who were taught by Mrs. Eddy write in a similar manner. For instance, you know, even what she talks about gratitude, and I do say about keeping a gratitude journal, but she says, and Laura Sargent has said this too, that, you know, when you're one with God, you are in a state of gratitude. To be grateful for certain material objects actually is a form of idolatry. So as long as you are seeing everything as God and you are in your right oneness with Him, you will feel grateful. It's something that wells up in you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but she brings out that, yeah, just to be grateful for things is really true gratitude. I'm going to mention something. Many people sent me very interesting things this week. And Christina in Mexico, she sent me this, it was about the percentage of the population who is certain that God exists. Now, in the United States, the percentage of the population who is certain that God exists, it was definitely the majority. The ones who were 70 to 82% certain in this poll, the states, they listed the states, and it was, you know, it was the Southeast or Southwest, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. And then the least, it wasn't the very least in the whole poll, but, and this made me look sad, the 30 to 49% who were certain that God exists in this poll, it was the New England states where Mrs. Eddy was from, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. Just those four. And then all the rest, if I didn't mention your state, that you were in the 50 to 69% who believed or were certain, not believed, certain that God exists, which was definitely the majority of the country. So, and then it had Europe. Now, Europe, in the 70 to 82%, there was only one country, Georgia, which Harry said was once a Russian. Interesting.
What?
The 50 to 69% was Romania, Serbia, Croatia, Greece, Moldova. The 30 to 49% was Bulgaria, Ukraine, Slovakia, Poland, Portugal, and Lithuania. And then the smallest percent were all the other countries, which was 10 to 29%, who were certain that God exists. So that is, my friends, Spain, France, Germany, England, the British Isles. So it was quite revealing. And the reason that I'm bringing this out is that we need to pray that all nations, all our states rise up into having a certainty that God exists. And we have people all around the world. Barry and Uta in Germany right now, I consider them lights there. We have people in England, Izzy, Anne, and I know Florence has a lot of people all around the world. Right, Florence?
I believe that. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. It is true. And you didn't mention Africa. I didn't hear you mention Africa, but
Africa wasn't on the. It was just Europe and the United States.
Okay. All right.
And South America, Canada, those weren't on there. So
what about Africa? Hi.
Yeah, I mean we have our Kenya people working. Florence has someone in South Africa. So. We changed the tide. And then today I read that in America, the percentage of Bible reading people has been going up significantly, especially among young people and men. And that's the area that needs to be reached. Some 29% going up. I was so heartened when Christoph and came here. Christianity, everywhere they went in America, including New York City, which is considered, I was thought, very secular, but not so. And it was beautiful because at Christmas time in Times Square, which, you know, is what Times Square is. Anyway, they have all these huge billboards. Well, they had the nativity at Christmas, a beautiful, pictures of the Nativity. And then more recently, they had beautiful pictures in Times Square of the Chosen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. So we keep working on all of this, and we don't allow to accept this. Certainly not in Europe, because I know I've heard things about Europe, but maybe they don't show up whole, but there are a lot of people who do believe in God, maybe, who weren't asked or believe in something. They believe in, if they believe in love, they believe in God. So let's know that there'll be a greater percentage of people who with absolute certainty know that God exists. And then in this book that Lawrence sent me, Mind and Man, The Kingdom of Heaven, A Present Reality by Martha Wilcox, who was directly taught by Mrs. Eddy. She says in the section on true citizenship, it is easier to rush about smartly and clean the outside platter. In other words, do something rather than know or be something, not realizing that we will do right if we be or know what is truth. It is easier to be a loving person than be the love that knows no person, which means no personal sense, no personality. And it goes on, what then constitutes good citizenship? The ability to see man as mind's awareness of its wholeness, and then to deal with one's brother from that withinness of consciousness. There can be no demonstration of true citizenship without the understanding of what constitutes the kingdom of individual man. To love one's neighbor as oneself is a it has nothing to do with persons. The divine idea is the understanding that being is one. It is this understanding which elevates a community, a state, a nation to that state of consciousness where all interests are seen to be one interest, as the one is all. If one would be a good citizen of the world, he must understand himself as mind's reflection. Since as mind's reflection, every thought of man has the potency and intelligence of mind. No man can serve his community or his nation until he lives his true selfhood, his compound idea, including all right ideas. Anytime we see our brother as other than mind's reflection of itself, which is one's own self in every quality of being, we have failed in this true citizenship. So I thought it was so wonderful. In this being and in this knowing, we will bless all mankind and raise everyone to their certainty that God exists, as this lesson certainly proves, and as our Wednesday night meetings certainly prove. You know, I'm so happy. Week after week, thank God you all get up and say how you've been healed. But just the error that would keep you in your seat or off your phone or whatever. So don't let that happen. Your testimony is so important in purifying the world and our work. Never forget, it's Christian Science that is doing this work. It is doing the knowing. You know, we love the Chosen, and I certainly do, but how many Christians know the science of healing? I don't, you know. What, Florence?
I said, you know, sometimes I wonder, you can be a Christian, you can even be a Christian Scientist for a long time and still not know what really means healing.
Yes. So, and there's so much depth to it, and that's what this Martha Wilcox book brings out. She got it. All the workers who knew Mrs. Eddy, that's why people who spend time reading other things, I mean, that's fine if it's helpful. But to me, frankly, I just want to read the ones, either Mrs. Eddy herself, or those who knew her or were taught by her, or were taught by someone who was taught by her. But in other words, the early workers.
Who actually got it.
And the ones who actually got it.
Mary, I was going to say, as far as the atheist thing goes, I've known people before who claim not to believe in God, and it turned out that it was just a false teaching to them of what God was, and they didn't believe in a man in the sky. And so, you know, it's all about who God is and what he does, and not this false concept. I think a lot of people have that if they were never taught.
That's absolutely right, and a lot of it is rejecting the Catholicism and or even the false sense of Christian Science, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And all of this overturning is very, very healthy right now. We mustn't be dismayed, and we will see the systems fail and go down because they're not based on God, and we mustn't be dismayed. Let not your heart be troubled. Absolutely right. And where there have been areas where there have been so much Catholicism, yeah, people are rejecting that, and that's a good thing. But to say that they don't believe God exists, and Jeremy, what do you say about your atheist experience?
Well, I think it was a necessary thing that I had to go through, get rid of all those false beliefs and everything. But it runs to an end where you realize, well, this also isn't everything. And, you know, the whole thing with a lot of atheists tend to think a lot of their own intellect and everything. And I don't know, it's just that is also very off-putting, much in the same way people who pretend to be Christians are off-putting. So you have to find your way past that.
Yeah. Thank you. And the main thing is, yeah, we don't judge, and we keep ourselves. We mind our own selves and be the best example that we know how and keep that thing I desired of the Lord to dwell in the house all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So, and inquired in his temple to have a thirsting for the knowledge of God. Never let that grow dull or old, but always wanting to know more, because there always is more.
May I say something?
Sure.
I think it's interesting that of all the countries in the world who have the most people who are believing in a God have all come from Eastern European countries, where they've come out of a system that have been atheist, so the communist countries, et cetera. And those are the ones who have tasted what it's like without God. So they're the ones who now believe in God.
Good observation.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it takes that.
And often, usually it takes that, I'm afraid. Because when people are taught incorrectly about what God is or what they should believe in, and they find it to be very disappointing at best, and they reject it, whether they call themselves atheists or whatever, it's normal, natural for everyone to search for something, for some basis for why they're here, for some basis of what their purpose is. So they're going to keep searching. And if they don't have the science of Christianity, they're going to search other human systems. And they're all going to fail. Let people search. And we when they're ready for the science, you know, when everything else fails and they're desperate, we will be there for them.
Christian Science there for them. And that's what we must know.
There's nothing else can satisfy.
Nothing else has. It's a complete science. It's not fragmentary. And Mrs. Eddy has said that, you know, Buddhism, some of these other things, they have some truths, but they're fragmentary. Science is a complete science. It's complete. What she suffered to give it to us. And Christ Jesus as well. And remember, we're still going through this Lent season, so you make sure you keep your joy, keep your, as Evans used to always call it, the Antichrist. as it was when the Antichrist rose up, right, and attempted to crucify. Couldn't do it, but it tried. And sometimes, especially as a scientist, or you're sensitive to thought, you feel it, you feel depressed, you don't know why, or sick, or getting terrible negative thoughts. Not your thinking, it's not you. Keep persevering with the truth. Don't listen to it. A lie.
And this is why we have all that good material on on YouTube, you know, because Christians are obviously on YouTube, and we've got all these, you know, videos, and we've got lots of content there for our members to engage with, make comments, and share it, and that amplifies it, and that's how we, you know, kind of in this world can kind of help it along too.
Most definitely. So the whole mission of our church is that.
Right. Exactly. We utilize every legitimate avenue.
I was going to say The Chosen being so much in the mainstream is so wonderful because just to see it on the screen and you feel it in your heart so much, it's so powerful. I just think that's wonderful. And
it is, and it's got this.
Everything that you all have online is amazing.
Well,
can I say something?
Millions of people is bringing Christ and the disciples right here with us and making this healing a more natural way of so people can see how it is done, and that is extremely important. Who wants to say something?
Oh, it's Suzanne. I just learned that the Chosen app is illegal in Europe. And also because Europe wants to keep it so secular, so you can't even download. I think it has to do with the App Store, and Mark Zuckerberg is caving to the European Union. He's not putting any religious advertising like The Chosen on Facebook in Europe. So you can tell that people are turning to the Lord. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to worry about it so much. But there is definitely a spiritual battle going on in Europe right now.
Thank you.
I can say living in Europe, you can get The Chosen. I was able to download the app some time ago. So I downloaded it, and I heard it in Holland, I heard it in France, and I heard it in Germany, of course, and in England. So I don't know, but Zuckerberg is another issue. But yeah, you can get it if you want it.
Yeah, I mean, it was Jonathan Rumi was being interviewed, and it, you know, he's the one who said it. He may have been speaking of the Halo app, He may have been speaking of something. A different date, but I've seen it being sold in religious bookstores in Europe, the DVD, but I mean, okay, well, that's good news.
Well, I do know, you know, various things I've heard. I wasn't that surprised when I saw this map of Europe and being, you know, very secular, but again, there he lives there, you know. Suzanne visits there all the time. Many of you know a lot more than I do, but I have heard from people that live there that the climate has changed a lot, and where people once were turning to God, they're not. But there again, this is our work. This is our failing. This is what we need to do as citizens of the world, which we are. So thank you. Thank you both.
Yeah, I think it's. I think though that we have to see that Europe is a very beautiful place, and I'm very happy to live here because I find it's a place you can be very spiritual and you can talk to, you know, and work with God. So I have a lot of gratitude to be here.
Thank you. And I mean, we do know people leaving the United States for other countries for various reasons. So again, it's just knowing the truth about all nations everywhere.
Aww.
And thank you, Zari. I'm sure that's true. It is very beautiful. And sometimes we
We've been getting a lot of U.S. people moving to Germany. Hamburg is full of a lot of people just came and said they cannot live in the U.S. for the next 4 to 8 years. So
yeah, no,
I don't get into discussions with them about it.
No,
I hear that.
I understand that. No, we do have a lot of people leaving the United States. So I guess the main thing is we've all got to watch our own consciousness and stay ourselves in the kingdom of heaven wherever we live.
God is everywhere. Period.
Everywhere.
And the healing takes place in your own consciousness, in my own consciousness.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And if your light is shining, will be you will be a positive influence.
Yeah.
And you'll see what God made, and that's what Christian Scientists are supposed to do.
And the more and more people who are certain that God exists, the right sense of God, that's a good thing. And that's what we just know. And it happens, yes, everywhere, all the time.
Because God is everywhere.
God is everywhere, and this is his creation. So, Jeremy, would you read the golden text?
James. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him.
I got some really good articles on this. And one, you know, Samuel Greenwood is so good about the healing power of the Christ and of God. And he brings out in his article, Healing is Practiced by Jesus, as well as another one called The Healing Mind. But he says, human misfortune and misery are here to be overcome as in the time of Jesus. Sin and disease are just as rampant in death as a dreaded specter still stalks among us, gathering in its praise. Surely, if mortals ever needed Christianity to redeem them from these conditions, they need it today. The sufferers throughout the earth, to whom Materia Medica has given no relief, and whom it confesses it cannot save, need help as sorely as did the Jews whom Jesus healed in Palestine so many years ago. Why should not the Christ truth be applied to their needs also? Why not? Has Christianity worn itself out, while Materia Medica has come down the centuries gathering new strength and helpfulness? Has God ceased to respond to the prayer of faith, or have Christians cease to trust in him? Which is it? Has Christianity ceased to heal the sick because it is not able, or because there is a better way? These are not superficial or idle questions, but are of our deepest concern and import to mankind. All the conditions exist today, such as Jesus encountered during his ministry. There are the same needs, the same sense of separation from God, same bondage to the material senses, the same love of evil, and also the same ability to understand and receive truth. What then has been lost? What is lacking today? The truth of Christianity or the understanding of it? It is an accepted historical fact that the Christians of the early church healed the sick through their religion alone, while the Christians of the present day generally repudiate the sacred duty as having nothing to do with their religion. Has the church another and better name than that of Jesus Christ, whereby to save men from the grasp of disease? And then it goes on to say the basic law of mathematics never wears out. Its intelligent application brings the same results today that it did 5 or 10,000 years ago. It never gives signs of decay or making ways for substitutes. And so I just think that's so wonderful, you know, because what is it? Why aren't we healing more through the Christ, through God's power to heal? Why do so many rely more on medication? It's not because the power has decreased or the laws have changed. It's the application they're in. And here we are. Very important that we stay true to this. And then in this, a wonderful article by Irving Tomlinson that Gary sent, he says, Moses and Jesus healed the people. That same power to heal exists today. And then he who denies the power of God to heal is doing more than to assail Christian Science. He is, in fact, making an attack upon the truth of the Bible and is seeking to discredit the words and works of Jesus and of his obedient disciples. Is that not true? You think of all the healings in the Bible, and if people reject that, it's not just, you know, rejecting Christian Science when they seem to reject Christian Science. It's rejecting all of that. So here again, here we stand. So help us God. And that's why it's good news that more people are reading the Bible and accepting the truth. So the lesson brings out clearly about the importance of prayer. One of the articles Carrie sent, it was how Jesus, everything he did was through prayer, unceasing prayer. He was constantly praying, right? Always. And how he'd go early in the morning up to the mountains. Are you making that sacred time to pray? And are you praying unceasingly throughout the day? Whenever you see anything that's not in accord with God's creation, beholding the beauty of the Lord. So it's most important that we do this. And I love in the lesson it says, besides in health, keep distinctly in thought that man is the offspring of God, not of man, that man is spiritual, not material. And that is, in many ways, the bottom line to everything, right? And I love it because this reminded me in Notes on True Vision where John Morgan says, I know my eyesight derives directly from my father. It did not begin with birth, nor does it diminish with age. I rejoice I have perfect eyesight now. So when you're knowing your oneness with God and that God is your father, mother, you can rely on that. Everything goes back to that. I love that. I know my eyesight derives directly from my father. Do we know that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep.
It doesn't begin with birth. So, you know, if you have some beliefs about your eyesight, it didn't begin there. And it will not diminish with age. And I rejoice that my eyesight is perfect now. And the theme also in the lesson is your perfection. Perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe. All right, Nancy, you want to read what she sent to me, please?
Yes, it's regarding citation 4 from our lesson. There is but one primal cause. I found a Christian Science article by Duncan Sinclair from May of 1922, where he quotes citation 4. Our leader writes, there is but one primal cause. Therefore, there can be no effect from any other cause, and there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause. That's page 207 of Science and Health. He goes on to say, does evil or disease proceed from the one perfect primal cause? Impossible. Mm-hmm. An evil or disease can have no reality. It is, as Christian Science terms it, a false belief and illusion, an unreal sense. The very fact that evil or disease can be healed or destroyed is proof of its unreality. For surely, that only can be real in the absolute sense, which is indestructible. John states it in the third verse of his gospel, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John, like the great master who taught him, had penetrated the mist of material sense to primal cause. On page 275 of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, "To grasp the reality and order of being in its science, you must begin by reckoning God as the divine principle of all that really is, adding thereafter all substance, intelligence, wisdom, being, immortality, cause and effect belong to God." In these words, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science proclaims God to be the divine principle of all real being, and that divine principle includes in itself all cause and effect. Every healing which takes place in Christian Science comes about through some understanding of the truth that primal cause is perfect mind, that mind's creation, the spiritual universe of ideas, is as perfect as mind itself, and that nothing imperfect, nothing inharmonious, nothing sinful has any real being. I thought that was the perfect answer to his sin, disease, and death rule.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we have to watch, too, because we sometimes do look for causes. You know, I was thinking wrong, or someone was malpracticing, or whatever. When you go back to God being the only cause, wipes all that out. It's nothing to ignore. However, if you have been hateful or something like that, you do need to go back and clear your thought of it and know that, yeah, that wasn't of God, and that God is the only cause. And therefore, I can't have any other cause, whatever it calls itself. And there are all kinds of beliefs going around. So don't accept it. There's no reason for it. Ultimately, there's no reason for it. And the human mind tries to give it reasons, whether it calls itself allergies or flus or certain seasons that things happen or whatever. Don't accept it. Thank you, Nancy. Now I'm going to just read a Max Dunaway poem. What is the greatest lesson man can learn, that which will help him on through every day? Above all else, his wisdom should discern the simple course of learning to obey. Beyond the acumen, might, or strategy that seeks to light for us our human way, nothing is done with greater certainty than what we do when we learn to obey. Yes, learning to obey, just to be still and hear God's voice for his wise guidance pray, then faithfully go forth to do his will. We work aright only as we obey. That's from Daily Angel. But that is also our oneness with the Father. When we're one with God, we just naturally do what he would have us do, right?
Yes.
Thank you. And then there was another. It was a beautiful article that Carrie sent on reflection. But in that article, it ended, or it had within it, in miscellany. And I don't remember this, and it's so beautiful. It's on page 1, where Mrs. Eddy says, "A heart touched and hallowed by one chord of Christian Science can accomplish the full scale. But this heart must be honest and in earnest and never weary of struggling to be perfect, to reflect the divine life, truth, and love. Stand by the limpid lake, sleeping amid willowy banks dyed with emerald. See therein the mirrored sky and the moon ablaze with her mild glory. This will stir your heart. Then in speechless prayer, ask God to enable you to reflect God, to become his own image and likeness, even the calm, clear, radiant reflection of Christ's glory. He healing the sick, bringing the sinner to repentance, and raising the spiritually dead in trespasses and sins to life in God. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Just a beautiful description of what true reflection is. And the article brings out, you know, reflection can't be rebellious. A reflection can't do anything that the what it's reflecting is doing. It's impossible. So think about that and spend time just feeling your subordination to God, your need to reflect him in all your ways. And then when you do that, you will heal as well, because
you can't help it.
The power of God to heal. Tremendous. All right, Gary is telling me it's later than I think. So again, he'll end with the...
an article by William McKenzie entitled "Servants to God Only" from a 1918 journal. We find that a servant is an agent who is subject to the direction and control of his principal. And so when Paul speaks about being made free from sin and become servants to God, we understand his metaphysical meaning to be that such a free man is an agent of principle. The fact is, as the apostle brings out, that every man is the servant of that which he obeys. If he yields himself obedient to sin, he is sin's servant. And if that service continues, it ultimates in death. For the wages of sin is death. On the other hand, obedience to principle not only frees a man from sin's dominion, but is itself expressed in righteousness. Made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, Paul says, and continues the analogy by urging that as their members had been serving vice, they should now dedicate them to righteousness, and so evidence holiness or consecration. If we love God, then we are servants to good only, and not in bondage to any man, nor to any disease, fear, or false belief. People think of consecration as limitation, but it is a spiritual fact that consecration and liberty go together. Freedom and holiness are necessarily conjoined, and fullness of joy is one with obedience to God. Out of this phoenix fire, which is engirdling the world, what shall arise? Men are expecting a new order of things, and some have faith that the new order will be a universal expression of obedience to the one Master who said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." His life was the example of obedience. Christian Science is bringing to the world a right understanding of his life.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.